We're ministering again tonight on the life of Christ. And we're teaching specifically on the areas of healing, Jesus ministering healing and deliverance, because we're looking at some circumstances, Jesus dealing with demonic powers, because sometimes in the areas of healing, you're going to have to do that for people and minister in those ways. Last week, we looked at a guy who was blind and mute who got delivered, and we did a little teaching on that, not only just on the teaching on that, but looked at what had happened because they're dealing with Jesus, talking about him, casting demons out by demons. So not a good place to go in their thought life about that, you know. Demons don't cast out demons. And I always find it very interesting, because we find it, as you go look at these teachings, as you go along in Jesus' ministry, you'll find that the Jewish people, even the ones who reject Jesus' ministry, they do not believe from a healing perspective, that healing in itself is wrong. Now, we looked at they didn't like it healing on the Sabbath or things like that. But they never looked at the devil was a healer. They never had the idea. Where the church world gets it today, you cannot find it in the ministry of Jesus. And looking at the Jewish people never thought that the devil was a healer. Never. They didn't think that way at all about the devil. And how the church came up with the idea, you know, they take that thing that makes a mention about the Antichrist. But Paul wrote instead, said about the Antichrist in Thessalonians, it talks about his lying signs and wonders. You know, and they always take that thing that's over in the book of Revelation about which says about the Antichrist, you know, about him dying. It says, you know, and it's about him coming back to life. Well, it's lying signs and wonders. People are going to think he died, but he didn't die. They're going to be thinking something. The devil's a liar. That's the way he operates. It's a lie. And people will just be primed for his deception. And we're living in a world, can't we see people are getting primed for deception? I mean, man, deception's big. So those things are going on. But we found, and looked last week, the fact that they didn't like healing on the Sabbath. You know, you could heal any other day but the Sabbath, but they didn't heal on those either. So they didn't like Jesus healing on any of the other six. It didn't make them any happier about it. They were mad at him all the time when he did it. So it's just, you know, it was called an excuse, I think. That's mostly what it was. It's just another thing to bring up. Tonight we're going to look at an incident that was in Matthew and in Mark wrote about it. We want to look at over Matthew the 17th chapter. No, excuse me, I'm at the wrong spot here on that. I want to first look at on Matthew the 15th chapter. Matthew 15, we're going to look at, there's a Canaanite woman whose daughter is delivered, because there's wonderful things that we can learn from her about dealing with the areas of healing and knowing and how God may work and deal. I always want you to remember this. You know, we've talked about this many times, but keep this in your thought. Jesus always ministered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but he always ministered. He only did what he saw the Father do, he said, and he only said what he heard the Father say. So we look at ministry-wise, Jesus didn't just think of his own things to say to people. He was listening what God wanted to speak to people. His response to people was what God wanted to say to them. And sometimes it didn't even seem to be so pleasant or nice. It's just like we looked at the blind guys. Jesus didn't pay any attention to them, just kept going. They're yelling at him, and he just keeps going and going in the house. Was that just Jesus doing a thing, or was that God doing a thing? I'm going to tell you, that was God doing a thing. And there's some things that we need to learn. Today, people get all upset that, did you see what they did, that handicapped guy? Did you see what that preacher did? He just didn't stop and take care of him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. People don't think no more in line with the Spirit or anything. You know, they have what they think in their own natural little carnal minds going around their little brains. They think it has some kind of big purpose in life. And most of the time, whatever's going on out there ain't right. Because we're going to look here again of a thing that happened. But, you know, in a sense, what we're going to find is a woman here, we're going to look at in Matthew the 15th chapter, who is a Canaanite woman. In other words, she does not earn a covenant with God. She's not a Jew. She doesn't have a covenant with God. And from what we understand, she's not practicing Judaism. She's not a proselyte of Judaism. She hears about a healer, and she comes and she wants something. And really, in some ways, she has more spiritual sense And I want you to understand this. That's one of the things that disappointed me greatly is when after I come out of dealing with sorcery and I got born again and I come over among spirit-filled people, I was totally disappointed because I thought they would understand spiritual things, and I found out we understood more about the spirit realm than they did. When I was over there dealing with demons, we knew more about how spirits operated than they did. And it ain't changed. It ain't changed in a lot of ways. It hasn't changed. People don't. The spirit realm is not a reality. Yet we find this woman. I've ministered places. I've ministered in other countries dealing with people, you know, in other religions, and they could respond to spiritual things better than the Christians could there. They responded better than the Christian people. I could get them to respond to things easier because of their belief in the spirit realm. See, the spirit realm got to be a real place to you. That has to be real. It can't be written on pages of a book. It's got to be real to you. It's got to be more than just things said in the Bible. You got to believe it's true. And when you do, believe it's true. And that becomes real to you. Then the Bible and what God's kingdom will become real to you, that it really exists. This woman comes along, it says in verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." And it says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word." Here's a woman answering. Now, I want you to see the difference here? She's come along making a call out for him. Yet we read concerning there's blind guys call out. There was ones that he turned around and respond to. There's ones he don't respond to. So you got to learn about that ministry. You don't can ministry. Just do it the same just because you did it the ceremony. Most people want can ministry. They want it done like it was done before, and that's why nothing ever happens, because people want can. The Spirit may do it different. This woman comes along. She's calling out. He doesn't say a word to her. He doesn't talk. He cried out to him. He says, "Have mercy on me, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." You've got to understand what is going on here. These guys aren't just some kind of lunatics or something. You need to understand, as Jews, they have been trained. The Jew could not go into a Gentile's house and sit down and eat. You didn't do none of that. You weren't allowed to do that. You didn't hang around the Gentiles, you know, you didn't run around. Gentiles were unclean. You didn't want to get contaminated by the Gentile. And so culturally, like, this is the way it was. Look, there was a lot of strict divide between cultures, and this story brings that out. This huge, strict divide that goes on. And it isn't just a bad Jew. All the groups were like that. They were all these ones of religions, you know, that, you know, don't touch each other. Now today, we think we've become so great because now we just open the door and everybody swallows everybody's religious junk and everybody just takes everything. And now, you know, you don't even know if you have much Christianity among a lot of Christians, because they've got other religion stuff in them. They got all kinds of things in them, and swallowed and opened the doors. Well, they had big divides on that stuff. But we have her, says, but he, the disciples came, you know, "Send her away, she's crying out after us." But he answered and said, he turns around and says this one. Now look what he says to her. "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, I was sent to the Jew. And he's exactly right. That was Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry, the ministry to the Gentile, which God had said in the Old Covenant he was going to do. The Messiah was going to touch the Gentiles. But it wasn't until the Messiah stepped into his ministry, you know, when he turned around and was crucified, raised from the dead. He turned around, went to heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat, and it started all that off. You know, well, then we turned around and we ended up having ministry go to the Gentile. Up until that time, a Gentile, you know, didn't have any promise of salvation. They had none. The only promise of salvation was to the Jew. The Jew was a type of church. That's what it was. It's a picture of the church. And it was signified, this is like today. Only the true believers are going to, they're gods. The rest of the people out here that don't belong to Jesus, they ain't gods. And they're the only ones saved. Now, people don't like to hear that today, and we don't like to say that. Oh, we cause controversy. Sorry, it's the way it is. It's biblical. And we need to know that. People on the outside, they stay on the outside. They're lost for eternity. They're lost. They don't have no hope of salvation. They're done. If they die, and have not accepted Christ, that's it. They're going to end up in what is called the second death. The second death is the lake of fire for eternity. They're going to be there with the devil and his angels for eternity in the lake of fire. And that's where they'll be. That's what's going to take place. And not a pretty thing, but that's the way it is. And so when he speaks to this woman, he turns around and said, "Hey, look, I'm only sent to the lost house of Israel, you know." Said she, and then says, what'd she do? She came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, he says, but he answered and said, "Oh, I'm going to do it right away. Oh, man, we're just going to." He said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." He called the lady a dog. And basically, he's calling her daughter a dog. You need to understand this. Dogs were not pets in Israel in those days. People didn't, they didn't have pets like we do today. They weren't trying to save all the pets. They weren't doing that. They weren't spending billions of dollars a year trying to save all the pets. They weren't doing that. Dogs, for them to make a statement, in their cultures, the view of a dog, of what a dog was, to call a person a dog, that is knee slap in the face. Because, you know, dogs weren't in your house. They weren't, they didn't do that kind of stuff. That didn't happen. She understood where this was coming from. She understood exactly what this was about. She says, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." It says that Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that hour. Now I'm going to read the next one, and we're going to go through some explanation on some things, because we need to grab a hold concerning this woman. If you want to understand, you want to understand faith. Because what Jesus said, her faith was great. If you want to have great faith, you're going to have to do things like she did. Most people do not, and they will never have great faith. Most people would never do what she did to get her daughter well. They will never do it. Well, I'll show you why. But in Mark, the 7th chapter, has the same story, and we're going to read Mark, the 7th chapter. Verse 24, it starts off, it says, "From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon." It says, "And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet." And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to give the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So we find this deliverance. But what we want to see in this, and what I want you to understand, this will help you greatly, because this is one of the things, you know, if you don't develop over the area of walking in love and understanding the love of God, not the love of what a lot is taught today and people call love. One of the things that love will help you with immensely is not becoming offended. If you get offended easily, you're always going to have little faith. If you take offense, I find that in many times in people in ministry that people take offense. They sometimes have had people, you know, come along with the Holy Spirit told me to talk to an individual about a certain thing, because they come for ministry for maybe healing. Talk to them, boy, you say something to them about the thing, and they're upset. God wants to heal them, but if He can't talk to them about that, they won't get healed. They get offended. See, we have to watch. We can't get offended. I learned that early in my Christian walk concerning Wanda. Because, you know, I don't care what Wanda did and how much trouble she called. If I got upset about her doing it and said something to the Lord about it, He'd always remind me of something I did. He had to teach me from the standpoint of really not to take offense concerning things. And when He would deal with me about Wanda, because at first He'd deal with me about it and say, "Yeah, well, what about her this?" I'd get offended. I'd say, "Well, she did that, you know." And I had to learn. I had to stop that. Because if I'd take offense, it would stop. It would, you know, God just stop. He wouldn't deal with me no more. See, people get offended really quick. Lots of times in the areas of ministry, I've seen people do. Somebody didn't minister the way it was. God sometimes will do things to weed people out. I know Brother Hagin sometimes in ministry, like your Brother Hagin had a healing anointing. But I remember many times he had a team that, you know, that he traveled with and that stuff. And a lot of them, those people had powerful anointings on them. But people would come to meetings and they would just want Brother Hagin to lay hands on them. And Brother Hagin would say, the Lord told me so-and-so is supposed to do the laying on of hands tonight. You would believe how many people would not go up and go up to the healing line because they wanted Brother Hagin laying hands on them. Shall I tell you what? You'd end up getting nothing. See, what happens, they're offended. They're offended, people. I have a way that I wanted it, just like this woman. This woman's coming. Jesus is ignoring her. She doesn't let it bother her. She wants something, and she's going after to get that thing. Is this God, or is this Jesus just messing around? See, you have to decide. Most people turn around, they'll say, you know, a guy's a man of God. Yeah, as long as he does what they want. Then he's a man of God. But you let him do anything that they don't like, then he ain't a man of God no more. And then he's walking in the flesh. And he's because if he doesn't do what they want to do. We've got to watch it in doing this because people get offended. And what happens is they lose. Whatever they're going after, they don't get. You can't get offended. I appreciate with this woman because she didn't get offended at all with Jesus. She was after something. She knew he had it. She knew he had it. What she needed, she knew that. She knew that if she was going to get it, she needed to get it through him. Because, look, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. You know, she had to hear about Jesus. She had to hear about his ministry. She had to hear about him casting out demons and stuff. She had to know it could be done or she wouldn't have had the faith to do this. She had to hear it. Now, she didn't specifically, if she would have maybe heard other teachings, she could have probably get set free without Jesus. You know, people could. The word in the old covenant was good enough to get somebody free. But we need to understand, she can only operate in faith on what she heard. So she heard, it's just like the woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. She knew that she could just touch his garment, she'd be made well. She did that, she got well. So she's after Jesus, she wants her daughter delivered. And she's going after that. That's what she's going after. So she's following after him, and you know, Jesus is trying to get away. He's going to the, here again. Jesus goes, he's in the house, man. This woman's, here somebody's after him. He don't say anything to her at first. The disciples, we heard in the one, you know, thing of it, they said, oh, man, get rid of this woman's fine. Well, you know, from their standpoint, hey, we got this woman out here. This isn't a Jew. This is a Gentile out here howling after us, chasing around. She's coming in our house. hold it. But Jesus tells her, you know, Jesus states a fact. He said, I'm sent to the lost tribe of the house of Israel. That's where my sin, that's his specific call. That was his specific call. He said, I'm called to that. That's what my calling is. And it didn't seem to stop her. She had the idea that she's going to get something. But Jesus made it. But see, here's the whole thing. And this has a lot to do with faith. You know, we'll later on in teaching and things about, you know, all things are possible. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And it comes down to that fact. This woman had her faith set on something. And she is out to get that. So you see again, here's this person with a great determination. They're not going to be let, well, just because something said, just because Jesus' call is the lost house of Israel, she's not letting that deter her from what she wants. She knows this guy sent from God. She wants, she recognizes that she's going after it. She's heading after that thing. Well, you know, he tells her basically, you know, he says, you know, you don't give, you know, don't take this good stuff we got and give it to the little dogs. You don't do that. And so making a mention of her as a dog. But she don't get offended. She is not offended in the least. You know what? What did she do? She played to his side. He said, yeah, but at least the little dogs get to eat the crumbs from the children's table. You know, She didn't deny who she, you know what, in the eyes of a Jew, she said, yeah, you know, oh yeah, I'm in that position. She didn't say, she didn't try to say, well, you know, you're racist. This is what you're, this is exactly what most Christians would do. The minister said that today to them, they'd be offended, you know, go to the newspapers and tell them, run them down, and half the preachers on TV have ever heard anybody say that, they'd be knocking the guy. I watched them do that already. Guys make statements, and they're true. They're factual, biblical statements, but they don't fit the culture, and I listen to preachers run them down for saying it. Jesus made a statement there. Boy, I'll tell you, today surely would not be politically correct. This woman, and see, verse 8, she don't become offended. You know, Jesus said what he was called to. Really, she was recognizing the fact of what that he was a Jew called to the Jews, and he was a prophet to the Jews. And you know what? She understood. Really, she complimented his ministry. She did. She recognized the fact of who he was. She didn't say, hey, I deserve this thing. She didn't say, yeah. You know. She wanted it. She's going to say, yeah, well, the dogs get to eat the crumbs, you know. And he said, oh, woman, he says, your faith great. Your faith is great. You see, she stayed in line of her faith. What she was hungry for, what she wanted, she stayed. She didn't move off of it. She didn't change from that. She had a goal. She wasn't going to let anything deter from that goal, although there seemed to be obstacles along the way. She didn't let that throw her off. You know, she's yelling. He ain't turned around paying any attention to her. She wants her daughter delivered. She continually follows. Whatever Jesus says, she's not going to become offended by why. He's her answer. I often ask people, you know, over time, you know, people would come sometimes and ask questions about certain things they want, you know, say they want counsel on something or they're doing something, and you'll try to minister to them, and what they don't like the direction, they don't want to listen to the way it's going. And I often ask, I stop and I ask people, say, if you wanted any counsel out of me, why did you come and ask me if you knew all the answers? What are you doing? You know, this woman didn't play that stupid game. She didn't play that dumb game. She came after something, and she's going to get what she wants. Her faith is set in a direction, and she's not moving from her faith. She's not moving from what her faith wants. She don't let things from an obstacle standpoint stand in her way of what, you know, what society thinks or what everybody else is saying. She's still talking her faith, even though she's hearing other things said. It doesn't deter her faith. She's going to get her daughter delivered. She's going to do this thing. Well, and she does, you know. And Jesus said, oh, man, you got great faith. And we don't hear, and there's one that's just like with the centurion, you know. He said he hadn't found his great faith in all Israel. It's the strangest thing. The only ones ever called with great faith have been Gentiles by Jesus. Never was a Jew he ministered to, he said, had great faith. Never. That's a shame. That was one of the things that really stunned me when I got born again, because coming over in the kingdom, and I was just really shocked. I was a young Christian starting off. I started listening to Kenneth Hagin's things and started reading about. He'd go use scriptures. I'd go over and take those scriptures and meditate on them and look. I'd always go make sure what he's preaching. I want to know if it's in the Bible, you know, just because the guy says it. I'd go through and study in the things. I'd see these things, and I would just, man, God, this is, man, it's in the Bible. This is true. This is real. So I'd take it and do it. You wouldn't believe the opposition I'd get. People, you know, I thought people been in the kingdom for years. I thought they believed the Bible. You'd ask them, say they believe the Bible. They didn't believe nothing about the Bible. And they get full of religion. And over time, because of being filled with religion, it gets hard to get across to them about what's true. It gets hard because they accept all this stuff is true. And what happens is because they, you know, have gained a place of status within the church world, as everybody thinks, well, they're a Christian for years and you're a pretty nice person. They get offended because they don't want to be proven that they're wrong about anything. How much if I'm wrong, I want to know. You know, and I found people, they'd rather been sick and die than admit they missed it with God and didn't, they, concerning healing. They'd rather get sick and die because I ain't going to admit, you know, I was wrong. Man, I've met people like that. I met people that just stay on the same road and just keep doing the same dumb stuff and same dumb trouble because of their pride, getting offended about stuff. Man, if I don't know, I want to know. Please help me, Lord Jesus. I want to find out. And all it is about being teachable. You know, anybody can stay teachable if you want to. That's up to the individual. But it is sad to say, lots of people, as they grow old, they get set. I don't want to get set in my ways that I can't change. Don't do that. Don't get set in your ways. Now, when you find out what something is true, stick with the guns. But you're always going to learn or see things from a different perspective and learn new things. It's always going to happen to us. And if we do, I find this. Many times we know things in part, or we have a part of something. You know, and something gets added on to it, can sort of change that part. You know, the way it's like making a picture. If you were putting a puzzle together without a picture, you know, and you put some extra pieces in, and you add, whoa, this picture looks a lot different than I thought it was going to look. You know, you're sort of adding in. Well, in a lot of ways, the word's like that. As you gain parts and stuff, you think, wow, this is really cool. Where do you get the next couple pieces and find out how cool it is? You get those next couple pieces and put it, whoa, this is better than I thought. You know, oh, I thought I knew something about this. This is great, a great picture. And it's like, that's what the word's like. It's like you add it to that. And it's like not seeing the picture. You get glimpses of stuff every once in a while. You see things. But when you really, as you go, it gets better and it gets better as you grow. And that's why you don't want to get stuck over in the area where, in that area where, you know, well, I know and I become offended if things, you know, don't work out like I want, or somebody says something that I don't agree with, or I just, if you don't agree with something somebody says, they can just, you know, do it. If they're wrong, you know, they're wrong, no matter. But if they're right. I had one time a guy came to me about a certain thing, and he was upset about what a person said. And when he told me what the person said, I knew this, the person was right about him. But he was mad. And I just said this to him. He was all mad, and he said to me about this one. I said, let me ask you this question. I said, I want to ask you this. What the person asked you, said to you, it offended you, you're mad. But I said, was it true? Was it true? And you know what? He knew it was. But that isn't what he wanted to hear. But he thought, oh, they're operating in a wrong spirit. I don't care if they said it to him ugly. If it was true, you still got to receive that. If it was true, you know, you can throw rocks at all you want about their attitude that they said it in. But if what they said was true, Jesus told the people, you know, don't do what the Pharisees do. Don't, you know, do what they do, but listen to what they're preaching. Because why? The word was right. They weren't doing right. You don't do what they do. Practice. But if they told you what the word said and it was right, you better do it. Whether you like the attitude or not. And I admire this woman because she didn't let things deter her. She was on a mission. And really, you know, with her and her operation, what she's doing here, man, she's operating in a very mature way. I mean, this woman's operating in wisdom. And I thought about this because we were teaching on wisdom on Sundays. We've been talking about wisdom. But she really operated in wisdom. Here's proof that wisdom cries out in the streets. A Gentile had wisdom. A Gentile had the wisdom of God. So what excuse does a Jew have not to have it? The Gentile had it. The Gentile knew how to use wisdom to respond to Jesus to get what she wanted. Yet the Jews are sitting around, many of them, and not getting what they wanted. Think about that. So wisdom had to be crying out in the streets. Wisdom was being heard. People aren't operating in it. She is a Gentile, but she's got wisdom. She knew exactly how to respond to Jesus to maintain her faith to acquire what she needed. See, my God, I want to be like her. I want to be like her. She's smart. But she used wisdom. She responded. She never got off of her faith. She maintained her faith, no matter how what it was. She always kept a faith that she was convinced that she could have what Jesus had. She was convinced she could have it. So she didn't let it deter her and said, no, this is just for the Jews. Yeah. Oh my God, you got so much gum, there's going to be crumbs. Crumbs from Jesus is enough to set you free, let me tell you. Crumbs are enough. This woman knew that what Jesus had, that the crumbs alone would be enough to deliver her daughter. See, everybody's, most of people are looking, they need something big. No, they don't. I'm going to tell you, healing ain't no big thing at all. You don't need anything big to get healed. My God, that's a healing. Healing ain't no more than a crumb. See, if you don't understand, see, so many people get in their mind, they're working for this big thing. It's not a big thing. Man, this woman got a demon cast out of her daughter by a crumb. So, it ain't no big deal, is it? That's why she had great faith. She understood the power. She didn't view the power of God through human reasoning. She didn't view it through that. And she got a little bit of, she knew a little bit of God was enough to take care of what she needed. See, everybody thinks they need something big. Oh my God, I just need this. Well, you don't know what my problem is. Say, yeah, and I'm glad I don't. Because you've done made it so huge, I don't even want to listen to you talk about it. Because you turned it into something it's not. See, people, you know, they don't realize the power of God. What is it to God to deliver a person? How much does it take the one who has all the power? What does it take? I mean, you think about it. This woman, she had insight. She's a Gentile. She wasn't going down the synagogue and they're reading her the Old Covenant, Old Testament to her. You know, she heard about Jesus. She didn't need 47 different classes to get her daughter to heal. She heard there was healing in the place, there's deliverance. We're going getting it. I'm going over right now and I ain't leaving until it's over. Say, oh no, I just need to be taught and taught these 47 more times. See, we got to get, there's a lot of things of thinking that we got to get out of us. We got to get out of us. Believing is a lot easier than people put it up to be. People make believing like you got to study like crazy to believe. Once I see something in the Word, it's true. I have the choice at right at that second whether I believe it or not. The choice is right at that second. I don't have to go to 14 more classes to hear that said again, trying to believe. See, I'm just trying to believe it. Forget that. You can't try to believe anything. You either going to believe it or you don't. You can't try. I'm going to try to believe something. If when a person says, I'm trying to believe something, you know what they just said? I don't think it's true, and I want to try to believe it anyway. It don't make any sense. Why would you try to? If you have to try to believe it, that means you don't think it's factual. Oh my God! But I, you know, it's one of the things as I found out is especially when I began to walk in the things of God. When I first started out, I saw God respond. What I Wanda and I put our faith to, we watched God respond and do the things, and we saw those things done. And to me, it became obvious that the Word was true. So when I would see things in the Bible, I'd say, well, it have to be true. It's got to be, because these things we saw was true. We did what the Word said. It worked just like He said. So to me, it was a wonderful find that I could just believe the Bible. And that's one of those areas that I have a hard time with people who are trying to believe, because it's like, to me, it's like, my God, it's obvious it's true. I would be just think when people would be so excited that they found something that is truth. You know, this woman, if you take from her perspective, she saw Jesus as a deliverer. That was the truth. She saw that that Jesus had deliverance, she would get that deliverance. Her daughter would be set free. That was it. She had another thought in her mind. There was no unbelief whatsoever in the thing. She knew that He had the deliverance. I'm getting it. I'm going there. That's it. And you know, it was that simple. And really, it is that simple. And start to think of it. Don't clutter up all the things that people try to do of trying to you know, about the Bible and about faith. People work and labor. That's why the Bible says, you know, it talks about the good fight of faith. Faith's a good fight. It's not a bad fight. If you're having a struggle, you're not in the faith fight. It's not the faith fight is when you have stepped up, you're in faith. People are fighting trying to get into faith. Well, that ain't the faith fight. Once I'm in faith, there's a good fight that I'm in. And it's good fight is this. Once I have got myself into faith, I believe, and I believe what I've said I've received, there's going to be things, circumstances or whatever are going to try to make me thinking that it isn't happening. It won't take place. That's the fight, but the Bible calls it a good fight. When I'm in faith, I believe it's so, and it doesn't matter what I see, because why? It already belongs to me. When a person, you know, don't get over the areas, I've talked to you this many times. Quit trying to get things from God. Start receiving things from God. Quit trying to get them. If you're trying to get it, what you're saying is, He hasn't given it to me yet. If you don't believe He's given it to you yet, you can't believe you receive it. Could you? Could you believe you could receive something that hasn't been given? If I didn't tell you I was going to give you $1,000, how could you believe I would give you $1,000? Not unless I already said I did. Then you could believe you're going to receive $1,000. That's coming to you. You could believe you're going to receive that, couldn't you? That's yours. Because why? Word, if you thought I was honest and I was going to carry that out, then that would be done. So I could expect that to happen. And that's the way God, when you find the promises of God, the Bible talks about the promises of God. It's what God has already promised. You're not trying to get it. You're supposed to receive it. You see, that's the simplicity of faith. They teach it hard. People are trying to get what was already given. That's hard. Because your whole perspective's off. Your whole thing's off. That's why this woman, her faith was, Jesus had it. She's there to get it. I'm not leaving till I got it. That's just it. I'm here. Here I am. I'm going to do this. There wasn't another place to look, another thing to do. There wasn't nothing else. Here I am. We're right in the middle of this. And I'm going to have it. That's it. And she's not... It's like what people put up a struggle. That's why she's happy. That's why she didn't get offended when what Jesus said. It made no difference. She's going to have it. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. And so keep that in mind. This is the thing. She's another one of my favorites for the areas of healing. And what I learn about this is about you go after something, whatever it is, whether it's healing or whatever, deliverance, whatever it might be that you're going after. Don't get distracted by whatever else goes on around. You set your faith and you walk for it. Keep your joy. No matter what anybody else says or does, just keep smiling and walking along. And, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about whatever you went to. And if somebody might have said something that seems to discourage you, maybe you needed that right at that time about that thing. You know, we got to learn to deal with stuff. We got to learn, you know, we hate to put up with any kind of pressure. But you're going to find pressure is going to come. You out there, you find pressure is going to come. The larger things you're going to step in to believe, the greater pressure you're going to face. I'm going to tell you what. It's like I always tell people, if you never learn to stand to believe God for a headache, you ain't going to stand to go through cancer and stand through that. The pressure, that's a whole lot bigger. You get over there and somebody has terminal cancer and they're going through chemotherapy and they're going through all kinds of stuff and things like that. I'm going to tell you what, you're in a fight. And you're dealing, if you can't deal with a little area, you ain't going to deal with a big area. And you have to learn how to operate under pressure, maintaining your faith. And I always admire people who go through tough situations and watch them and you see those people maintain their faith. To me, that's the most wonderful thing is to watch a person do that. Is watch a person maintain their faith under great difficulty. And I mean, they're hooked on believing God and they ain't moving. And they're running into all kinds of difficulties. And you run into people who are trying to make it difficult. People are supposed to be believing for them and be with them. Or trying to get them off course. Maybe not intentionally, but they're doing it nonetheless. They're trying to make that happen because they don't understand faith and they don't understand how it operates. But it's always wonderful to see someone. You know, Jesus, when this woman's faith, you can tell excited him. It's so nice to come and run into somebody that got faith. It is. It's always nice to run into somebody who really has faith. It's wonderful. You know, I run into people sometimes. I know them. They're not spirit-filled and stuff like that. Yet what they know about God, they know how to walk by faith. And I can just enjoy being around them. Because they know how to walk somewhat by faith. And they're a pleasure because you can tell it about them. Tell them about their how they view God and things. You know, God's real to them. And, you know, it's not some nice words on a page. You know, and you can tell it in their life. And they're people of faith. And it's always good to be around a person who can believe. And I'm sure Jesus was short of glad because I'm sure he ran into a lot. And but he found this woman here and she could believe God. Hallelujah. But I just encourage you, because like I'm teaching these things, is look over these things and look at these people and learn to identify with them on what they do, in their circumstance, or what their ministry. If you can identify and learn to see them and see how they operate in faith, I will guarantee you this. This is what the Lord taught me. He taught me first of all, Kenneth Hagin would teach in the scriptures and look in the scriptures and use example. And then Brother Hagin would always give examples of how God used him or how it happened through him. The Lord encouraged me to start to practice what I saw in the people in the Bible and in what Kenneth Hagin had done. Because if he was acting in line with what the scriptures, I could, in the same situation, if I learned in healing, I learned to operate in the same way that he did. I would practice the identical same things that he did. Why? Because if those are the things that worked, they'll work for you. There's one thing is I never invented something new out of this stuff. I can say this truthfully. I learned about healing copying. I copied out of the Bible. I copied people who copied out of the Bible. And that's how I learned. If you're trying to come up with your own thing, forget it. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Practice what they did. See how they responded. See what they did. See, like, to me, is I see these people that, especially numbers of people who came to Jesus specifically, the ones who got what they want. There's one thing that they had. They came for something specific. They were coming after it. They were not people, you know, sitting around waiting for another service and, boy, I got to get the next Benny Hinn service. I'm going after God now. I want to get healed today. I don't want to wait, you know, next month when Benny is going to be at some place and I can go to that meeting and I can go there. That's fine. I mean, if that's where a person's faith is, that's fine, you know, if you can do it. But I want to come to the place where I can hook up right now and practice. And you can find out. See, God, you're born again. You're a believer. You're hooked up to God. You don't have to wait to get to the next great meeting. You can get healed right now. You can receive your healing right now. You don't have to wait. And see, get that in your mind. Get that in your thinking about that. It's good. It's nothing wrong. But see, I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I began to look at scriptures, you know, from a scriptural standpoint. When you talk about faith and dealing with the areas of great faith, I always looked at the centurion when he said, you don't have to come to my place. The word is great enough. And Kenneth Hagin taught us this. He said, the highest level of faith, an operation of faith, he said, is not the gifts of the Spirit, those kinds of things. That's not. Highest level of faith is when you and I believe what the word says and just take it as true without any kind of other stuff or any kind of thing. You just take it as true. It's just like the centurion. Jesus said, okay, well, yeah, go, your servant's healed, go ahead. And that's all he needed. You just give me your word. And take the Bible as that. Treat the Bible. I'm serious. You and I don't need any more than what the word said. You know, I read, you know, like reading after John G. Lake, and I like John G. Lake a lot. And then John G. was a man, when he said, Jesus made a statement about it, he said, that's it, I don't need anything else on the subject. If Jesus made a statement, that's it. In other words, the Word of God is true. And I take that. I believe that this Bible that we have here is that was God-breathed, God-inspired. And I believe what these men wrote down, these things that God gave them, the letters that they sent to these churches, I believe they were God-breathed. And I believe that's God's words to Ed Gibson. I believe they're as much a personal letter to me as anybody. They title them on the different places that they found that they were writing them to, but I'll tell you, there is 100% as much mine, because they're God's words to God's people. And I'm a God's people, and you're a God's people. And take it just as that. Take the word as just, if the word says it, that's enough. You know, don't try to go find somebody to help talk you out of it. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is ask somebody what it meant. Hey, if you didn't know what it meant and you went to ask them to go what it meant, how would you know what it means? Get a revelation. But God gives you a revelation. You know, I'd sit down and I would read things in the Word. God would show things in the Word. And I would see it and I would know it's true. And I'd start putting the work in Word and I'd just start to act on it. So Mon and I saw marvelous things where we just saw things in the Scripture. And we're setting ourselves in that direction. We'd start to see God move. And God would start to go. I didn't go chase around to find out somebody else felt it was all right. It's in God's and His Word. And if He said it's so, then it's so. You know, poor Kenneth Hagin, I don't think about this. I mean, he got off his deathbed at 16 years old. But you think about it, he's on his deathbed when he was 15 years old. For about his last year, for the year before he's here, he's in bed for, in fact, I think it was a little over a year. He was in deathbed. Luckily, it was enough. He couldn't get any preachers to come and talk to him because he had found in the Scriptures, he found Mark 11:24, and he thought it was true. And he wanted to talk to some preachers to see if he was getting what he said true. And I think God spared him, and none of the preachers would come and talk to him. He said only had one preacher come and see him, but he said, you know, he didn't pay much attention. He said the guy came and just more or less told him, you know, get ready to die. And that's, you know, one of those jobs there. You know, the Lord has big wisdom in what He's doing. And he just sort of put that aside. And I thought, my God, if he could do that well at 15 years old, I can understand what most Christians today, they just struggle with everything under the sun, trying to fight over. I think he's a 15-year-old boy, got enough sense. And he was 16 years old. He got a revelation from him. He didn't have a lot of revelation, really, about God at that time. He had came out of, Southern Baptists. And Southern Baptists didn't preach any kind of healing or deliverance or nothing like that. So he had no teaching or anything along that line. He wasn't even saved. He got born again. he got born again while he was on his deathbed is how he got born again. And then he turned around and, but anyhow, Father God, but he got a revelation of healing. And he got a revelation of Mark 11:24. And really, that was the only revelation he really had in the Bible. He knew he was saved, he knew his salvation and stuff, but the revelation of healing, and he got that. God gave that to him, and he got it, and he bought it, and he wouldn't let it alone. And nobody, you know, I mean, his family couldn't talk to him about it. He said he talked to his mom about it, but she didn't know a thing about it because, you know, she came out of the same church that he did. They didn't know nothing about this stuff. But he believed it. And I remember just as a young Christian when I listened to his testimony and I was first born again, and I remember saying this. I said, a 15-year-old boy can believe God and get up off of a deathbed. There is no reason. Ed Gibson has no excuse for not being able to believe God and be healed. I have no excuse. Ain't no 15-year-old boy outdoing Ed Gibson. If you give yourself a lead way out, shame on you. You don't give yourself a lead way out. If some guy that didn't have near the teaching, understand, didn't have the books, I mean, he went for years till he found even books of people on the areas of faith and stuff like that, because that stuff wasn't in publication. That stuff wasn't out there. You just have to seek God and get it. And if he could do that kinds of things, what do we have to say for ourselves? It's sort of like guy that's from Africa, you know Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke, he attended years ago. He was back, this must be about 10 years ago. He was at out at Los Angeles. They were having one of those Christian broadcaster conventions out there, and it's a convention of the Christian book publishers, and also for the video side, and any audio video stuff, whatever. And it's a huge convention they have out in Los Angeles every year. They got it out there. And he went to attend a thing out there. And he said, I went out there. And he said, I walked through the place. And he said, I saw all this literature. And he said, the Americans have everything under the sun. He said, you could get a hold of any kind of thing or any teaching on anything you'd ever think of. And he said, you could have teaching on it. And you have a lot of that. He said, it's amazing. But he said, the American Christians are so cold. I said, amen, brother. It's where it's at. We got all this stuff, but the shame of it is, people never believe it. It's just reading stuff and going through things, and it's not what it's about. It's not about gaining information. I don't care how much you know. The only thing that helps me is what I believe. What I believe and what I respond to, that's the only thing. It doesn't how much I know. I don't care how much information I got. What do I believe? And I'll tell you what, you believe that book. And make that book first. It doesn't matter what anybody writes on pages. Brother Hagin used to almost say it every time he preached. You don't take something just because I said it. If you don't find it in the book, don't you believe it. It's got to be in the book. It's the Word, man. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing with the Word. It don't come by hearing preachers. If they ain't saying the Word, what's true? You believe in wrong stuff. So make sure you always go to the Word. That's why I love the Bible. Because there's one thing is, the Holy Ghost is in me, He's in you, for the express purpose that He can take the things that belong to Jesus and reveal it to us. That's His whole purpose. This is why many Christians never hear the Holy Ghost, never really run into Him and talk to Him, because they don't realize they're tied to so much religious stuff and they're not tied to the Word. You want to get the Holy Ghost? You get in and start talking the Word of God. You get into prayer and start talking the Word of God in prayer. Start taking the Word and start talking to God about what He says in His Word. You want to get the Holy Ghost to move? It won't take you 3 days of fasting and prayer to hear God. You can get that in 10 minutes. It's how you do it. It's the Word. His job is to take what belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the Word. You start messing with this thing, and He'll be all over you. I'm serious. He will. I can take the Word. I can sit down and take the Bible and go to prayer. If I'm praying about something, I can take the Bible and what the Bible says, a thing that I'm talking to God about, and I'll say, Lord, the Word talks and says this. And the Word says this. Look what your Word says. And I'll read God what His Word says. Now, God already knows it, but I want Him to know that I know it. And he's so excited when he finds out Ed knows it. He's been listening. Now it's him and I agreeing on this thing. I'm believing what he's saying, and he surely believes what he said. So it's me and God in agreement. And I'm saying, God, and I say this all the time to God, God, your word says such and such that you would do. And I'd say, God, you have to do that because you can't lie, because I believe that's true. So you're going to have to do it. And I can just, to me, I just see him smile. See, that's my boy. He believes I'll do that for him. That kid's so crazy. He'll believe I'd do it. I will. It makes him happy. See, people go through all these religious rigmarole, trying to get a hold of God, complaining about their problems and all that stuff to him. No, I find the Bible says this, Lord, and I know you'll do that. There's things that God spoke to me specifically in prayer that he coveted with me that he would do because of things that my personal relationship with him, you can do the same thing. It ain't just for Ed. There's things that he'll covenant with you on because, you look at the Bible, do you think he just coveted with David just because David was special? He'll covenant with anybody who will turn around and chase after him. If you'll chase after him, he'll covenant. And he came and talked to me. He dealt with me concerning my family about things. He said, you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. So what I started doing every time things weren't going right in the family, I'd go to the Lord. Lord, you said to me, if I told you, I'd do what you told me to do, you'd take care of my family. And I always go to him this way. Lord, if I've missed it, got offline of what I'm supposed to be doing, you let me know and I'll correct it. But you have to do what you said. You said if I'd follow you and do what you said, you'd take care of my family. I expect you'd take care of that. And I'd tell him what the problem is. I expect you'd take care of that. And you know what? I've never one time, not one time has it ever failed. Never once. Every time it works. Every time. Why? It's God's word. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to hold you as accountable to what I personally speak to you as what's written in the book. Why? It's his word. See, different people come along. I've heard people come along. I know one individual has had a lot of problems over the last number of years. And one of the reasons they've had the problem, some years ago, they came to me one time and told me what God told them to do concerning their life, what he called them to do for ministry-wise. Now, they're not called to preach or teach, but something he's called them to do. And you know what? They haven't done it for the past 6-7 years. They haven't been walking in. And they have nothing but trouble. And I know why they have trouble. They're out of the will of God. He's going to hold them as accountable what he told them as written in the book. He told them what to do. You need to do that. If he said, that's what you do. If he wants a change, he'll let you know. But you just keep walking in that direction. You need to, when God speaks to us, listen to what God says. That's God's word to you. Have faith in it. Have faith in it. He told you to do something. If you're doing the will of God, you can get anything out of it from God. You can get anything. He'll do anything. He'll do all kinds of stuff he wouldn't do. He won't do for people who don't. He does the best as he can to bless everybody as much as he can. But when you're walking in his will, he is so glad. He's so happy. He's so happy when he finds somebody who wants to walk in his will. I'm serious. He's happy about it. Nobody's perfect at it. Nobody's ever been perfect at walking his will. That isn't what turns him on and off. It's somebody who wants to. See, many people say, I want to, but they never make any attempt to really do it. Oh, yeah, I want to follow God. I'll see you later. It was nicely said. But if you will set yourself to walk the course to follow God, there's times you'll miss the mark. It's the easiest thing to repent and get back in place. I've done dumb stuff and got right back in place and then told God what he had to correct because he gave me his word and he corrected it. See, faith is what pleases God. It's not all this religious junk. It's faith. When you're walking over the years, as soon as I get back over the other faith, I get back in his will again, doing what he said to do, repent, and I can jump smack dab right on faith and expect him to take care of it. He has to. I'm in faith. Now, most people, they'll wait 10 years trying to make things right and doing all kind of stuff, trying to get themselves back over on faith. You don't do that. If you've missed it, repent and just act like you never sinned and just expect God to do exactly what he said he'd do and don't be surprised because he'll do it. He's moved by faith and he loves it when people believe what he said in his word is true. If you confessed your sin, then you act like you never did nothing wrong. If you're still acting like you did something wrong, you wasted your time confessing your sin. It was of no avail because you didn't do it by faith. You didn't really believe he forgave you. You got to not only say he forgave you, put an act on your face like he did. Get a smile. Act like. Start to pray like he never knows you did anything wrong. Talk to him like you're more than any angel. You're just wonderful. Man, you know, you do got a halo on your head. He gets so excited about that. He wants you to approach him as if you did nothing wrong. That is an act of faith. You're believing what his word says true. When people sin, what they do is they always come to God a little gun shy. And see, well, this, you know, where they come, it's not in faith. They're acting like God, you know, well, I messed up, and he's just... And God's looking at him like, what is going on here? I have forgiven. I'm not holding anything against him. And they're coming in this weakness and this frailty. And I can't respond to them because I want to help them, and I can't because they are not operating in faith. They're acting like I'm a scoundrel. They're acting like I lied. Don't do that. Come just like you've been the sweetest little thing and never did nothing wrong. And it's amazing. You will be shocked how fast God will move. Might scare you a little bit, how quick he'll do something for you. But you'll find out. I learned that over time. And I tell you, I found with people, that's one of the hardest things that people deal with is because they don't do that. They're you know, too much of dealing with the human side and looking on the human side. There's one thing, is God is the most wonderful forgetter there is. I don't understand somebody who knows it all. It don't make any sense to me. How can somebody know it all and forget? I don't know how it works. It only take God to do that. But he does it, and he does it good. And be like that. Because we're God, understand, you're perfect before God on the basis of faith, not on the basis of action. Here's religion. Religion believes that you don't have to believe the word at all, but your actions all got to be perfect. Well, no wonder they live under bondage. Because, all right, you know, even sometimes in the best of my faith, when I look back, I think, boy, my actions weren't as good as they could have been. But God's moved by my faith. He's moved by my faith. Now, the better, too, we can act, the better off we are. It's one thing is the Lord told me that he was pleased one time, and this is not blowing my horn. It's just, he just said he was pleased because he said, you'll take drastic actions. That's why you have seen so many things happen. So he said some big things happen so quickly because you'll do some pretty extreme stuff in actions of faith. And I have over time. I've made some pretty extreme actions. I mean, dealing with death situations and stuff, and I just stood and believed God. And some things were, you know, most people won't do it. You come to a time when things are something, you're going to have to believe God. And it's like, you know, we're just, you know, I'm just sort of like this. If we ain't going to have a miracle, then I ain't going to play the game. It's what's the point? I ain't going to go through. If I have to go through everything everybody else has to go through in the world trying to deal with stuff, we ain't going there. It's like when I had a heart attack, and you know, and the first thing I thought of, I am not going to spend the rest of my life taking medication and going through stuff. And I thought, this is the first thing that came to me. I thought, I'd rather be dead than do that. I ain't going with people go through having a heart attack. I ain't going through that. I ain't going to live a life like that. I ain't having it. See, why do you think like that? I don't know, but I just, that's the first thing. You know, most people you think about dying. I'm thinking about, I'd rather be dead than do that. And I thought, I ain't doing that. You know what? And inside me, there's an anger rose up. And the next thing that came out of my mouth, I said, devil, you can't kill me. I said, you have nothing in this thing. I'll tell you what, I just got bold as a lion. See, you got to get over with the whole thing. This is one of the things is thinking right about it. Most people, this is what happens to it. First fear comes. That's fear grips them, the first thing. They're afraid to die. I ain't afraid to die. I will guarantee you what's going to happen. If Jesus tarries, Ed Gibson croaks, he's be with Jesus quick. He's just going to step over there, zap. Ain't going to be no sad, no sorrow, no nothing. Anybody crying on this side, too bad, I don't hear you. We're gone. You know, we're going on with Jesus. Don't send any letters, telegrams, or texts. I ain't responding. We ain't coming back. We're going to be with Jesus. Ain't nothing bad about none of it. And that's what happens. And to me, death is gain. Death's gain. Death can't scare me. How could death scare a Christian? I'm going to go to a better place. I'm afraid to die. What? See, it don't make sense. You see, people talk about faith, but they don't have faith. Paul said, he said, it's far better to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, I'm going to stay here because you scoundrels. I'm going to stay here and teach you guys something. He said, I'd rather leave, but I got to be here because of you jokers. Say, thank you, Paul. I'm glad you stayed a while. Wrote a couple more letters. We got something. He put up with us, and he wanted to go. And say, I know what Paul was talking about. I'd rather leave. But you know, as the Lord told me, I tried to leave one time. And over a period of time, I tried to leave. And the Lord told me I wasn't allowed to. He told me to stop it. Because I was moving in a direction. And I'll tell you what, I would have left. One day I'd have left this earth. They'd have said something happened to me. I don't know what they might have said it was. But I left one day. Because I got over where I wanted to leave. I thought, my God, I'm fed up with it here. It's a dunny place. But the Lord said, no, he said, you have things to do here. And he said, don't you? He said, you get over there and you finish those things. I said, yeah, I'll obey you. But you know, you get over there, you don't have to obey God. You can go home. But I thought, no, I don't want to see him under this condition. I don't want to see him. You know, he ain't going to be mad at me and say, hey, you idiot, get out of here. He's not going to do that. But you know what? I'd rather please him. I'd rather please him than me. You know, I can't pay it off or anything like that, but I'd still just like to, you know, I do believe I owe him a little bit. And I would just like to do what he says and be like that. Have that within yourself. But don't be afraid. Don't fear about death. And don't fear. I mean, look at what the Bible says. The more I've read this book, God's real. And what I'm seeing around here, it's all temporal. Look at your body. It's temporal. It's a temporal thing. Oh, we fuss over these things and all the nuttiness we go through over these things and acting like it's so important. Over this temporal thing. Over all of our temporal stuff we got in this temporal world. And all we go through. Now, there's nothing the matter with it because, there's a lot of things. We could be blessed, lived here, all that stuff. But put it in its proper perspective. All these things around you are nothing compared to who you are spiritually. It's nothing. You created in the likeness and image of God. God gave you the ability to rule and reign in this earth. To rule and reign in this earth. To rule, God gave you the authority. Man, just we're born again, man. We have, you and I, are really the gods of this world. If we want to be. You know, when Jesus spoke and he says, told Satan, you don't have anything in me. You know, you can come to the place where you can say the devil. You ain't got nothing in. It's just like the day I told the devil, you have nothing to say about me, whether I live or die. You ain't got nothing to say about this thing. This isn't between me and you. This is between my faith and with me and my God. You ain't even, you're not even in this thing. Because you ain't my daddy. You ain't got any say. And you have to come to that place to realize, see, we're treating God like he's trying to hold something back from us. It's the devil working and he got us believing God's trying to do something. The same old stuff he told Eve. Oh, you know, God's holding out on you. You know, he told you don't eat over there because you get to be more like him. Same old junk. And religion preaches it. See, we're trying to beg God and get God to do stuff for us and he don't really want to do it. See, he's holding out. You get any kind of teaching like that, that's the devil. That's the devil talking. The devil's trying to get you to believe God's God's never holding out. And you're a Christian, your life's between you and your heavenly Father. It's not between you and the devil or something else. And always, man, get over, because you won't be afraid. I'm going to tell you a thing. You're in the hands of God. Whew. You're his child. I mean, go to bed dreaming about that. You're God's child. You're in the hands of God. The devil will tell you he's going to do all kinds of things to you. He'll tell you all kinds of ugly things are going to happen. He'll tell you anything he can think of. He's going to say, but it don't matter. I'm God's child. He can't ever scare me by telling me he's going to kill me. He can't scare me. Man, if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Ain't that awful? And see, get in it. Don't ever feel. Man, you'll learn to say, you know, you'll learn to look at the devil. You know, it's just like the Bible says about him. Talks about what men are going to say in the end times when they finally get to see this guy. They're going to say, this is the guy that did this to the world? This guy? When they find out what he is, people are going, oh my God, how did this happen? How did people fall for this? And that's what the devil is. He's an idiot. He was way up at the top of the chain of things with God. And he gave it up. I mean, he became a complete idiot. Hanging around God and thought he could overthrow God, that gets pretty stupid. He must not paid much attention to who God was. To think he could overthrow God. I always looked at him like he's pretty stupid. I always thought I was smarter than he is. I accepted Jesus. He's the idiot. He got thrown out. So I always knew this. I was smarter than the devil. You were smarter than the devil. So don't ever look at inferiority that he has something over on you. He doesn't. He has nothing over on you. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. As we looked at your gracious word, and Father God, we see, Lord God, that just like with this woman of faith we looked at tonight, my God, Father, we just thank you for showing us the simplicity of this woman who, man, Lord God, she was on a course heading for you, heading for your goodness and your mercy. And Father God, the wisdom that you walked in and what she did, Father, I want to thank you for putting those things in the book for us. I want to thank you that you put those on the heart of Matthew and on the heart of Mark to write those in there for us so we could see that concerning her. And Father God, Father, if she as a Gentile could stand in faith and have great faith, I thank you. We sure can too. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, for revealing these things to us. Father, you are so good. Father, you want us well. You want us sound. You want us whole. And Father God, we just throw out the lies. Lord, because there's been so many lies spoken, so many things said, Lord God, concerning you. And Lord God, as if you were trying to hold something away from us, or there was goodness that you had that you wouldn't give. Father, none of that's true. Your blessings are good and wonderful all the time, and you're always willing to pour them out on us. And Father God, you're moved by just our faith when we believe. When we believe the promises are true and take them for ourselves. Father God, you just can't wait to bring it to pass for us. And I thank you for it, Father God. Father, I believe that we're going to step into a new age. Lord God, Lord, it was prophesied years ago, and I heard it said on a couple different occasions by different people, that in the end times, that the last days, that faith was going to become so simple, so easy to walk in, that Lord God, the people were going to marvel and wonder about how so easy to do. And Father God, I believe, Lord God, in this day and age, the spirit of seeing and knowing. Lord God, we're comprehending things, Lord God, in ways that we never comprehend before, we didn't see. Father, I thank you for the simplicity will come. To ease, Lord God, we'll so easily trust you. So easily, Lord God, obey your word and walk in it. So easily do it, Father God. Father, to be so simple, hallelujah. Lord God, we'll never look at it in the same way as we did before. And Father, our whole purpose is that Jesus Christ might be glorified and Jesus is magnified in this earth, and that men and women are drawn to the great Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, that men would be saved. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.